Yeah, so Mayor Derek Dobies joins us this morning. You know, I've been bugging the mayor for weeks about Attorney General Dana Nessel, and she came to town. She was in Derek's office. So you get a chance to talk?
She was. You know, we chatted a bit. I think that the city attorney has been able to connect with her office, but I hate to say it, but I did. There was a pretty big distraction in our office when she was there. I did bring some Hinckley's donuts. So she got someone asked me which kind she took, and I replied the whole box.
Oh wow!
So, and if you've I'm sure nearly everybody in Jackson County's been to Hinckley's, and those boxes are pretty heavy. She was actually pretty surprised when she picked it up how heavy they are, because that's what makes them good.
Well, why was she here, and how did that go?
You know, she was here to do a press event with Secretary of State Jocelyn Benson, talking about the voter suppression bills that are currently being up for consideration in the state legislature, and how harmful those would be to, you know, frankly, to our democracy, for people to be able to participate. Voters went through 2018 and passed Proposal 3 by overwhelming margins to make it easier to vote, to allow for early voting, no reason to absentee voting, registering to vote earlier, and a variety of different good government, good democracy kind of reforms to expand access to the ballot. And I think what we're seeing after the last election is, you know, one party trying to restrict that access for political gain, make it harder to vote. And that's unfortunate. Hopefully those bills aren't going to pass here. They have passed in some other states, but, you know, and I understand people focus in on having a, you know, wanting, advocating for a voter ID, some sort of ID to be able to vote. I think we have pretty good safeguards in place now of either having an ID or some sort of affidavit of identity in order to vote. But a lot of the other bills that actually made it a lot easier for us to be able to vote, with some of the drop boxes and some of the proposed changes to those opportunities that we availed ourselves of last year, that had record turnout in the election with far fewer problems than any other year in the past, I think is bad. Simply put, to reverse that, to roll back those the expansion of that access to the ballot. And anyways, that's what they were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
I think there were some proposed amendments in the legislature that day that Attorney General Dana Nessel and Secretary of State were Jocelyn Benson were talking about, and Dana happened to be down in Jackson County at another event and needed some space, and was happy to host her in my office and give her some Hinckley donuts. Welcome her to Jackson.
Which one did she enjoy?
The whole box. She took the whole box with her.
So, okay.
She didn't eat one there, but she did text me, or actually tweet at me later in the afternoon, that they're the best donuts in the state. So
there you go.
You know, something we already knew, but, you know, now officially validated by the state's attorney general.
Well, your MLK corridor authority had their first meeting. How did that go?
Yeah, we had our first meeting. I think that there's a lot of positive excitement from the board. And, you know, I did an interview, I think, with WLNS down at MLK and High Street, and, you know, just kind of talking about the opportunity and the things that we can do to drag some of the progress out of downtown that we've made and drag it down MLK and into the South Side and with some of the opportunities that we have there. And I think people are excited. I think the board's excited. You know, people were coming out while I was conducting that interview to talk about different opportunities, and business owners along the stretch there talking about what sort of tools that board may have in order to drive more businesses there, facade loans, things like that. So I think there is a good amount of enthusiasm, and I think that, you know, council, when they created that corridor improvement authority, shared that enthusiasm, and so now we're getting to work. We've onboarded a team to kind of help staff the organization and help drive some of our processes here as we set up the mission statement, as we start to get our strategic plan together and start to lay out kind of the framework in which we can drive a lot of opportunities and down MLK and on the city south side that have been neglected for a long time.
Yeah, there is, and correct me if I'm wrong, there is some blight in the area. There's an empty school building. There's some vacant property that, you know, it's tough to fill up those areas.
Yeah, no, you're not wrong. I think that what you've seen the city do over the past 10 years is to start to reduce a lot of that blight, clean up a lot of those properties. In fact, I was just working yesterday with some kind of walking the town with some angel investors, and I participate for the past 2 years, I've participated in, as mayor, as part of a panel with the Michigan Bankers Association at an event, and a couple of the facilitators of that event reached back out because they were just impressed with kind of what was going on in Jackson and wanted to see what sort of investment opportunities there would be for, you know, different banks and different investors. They were angel investors themselves. So I kind of sat them down with the city manager and then had an opportunity myself to kind of walk them around some of the different opportunities and take them into the Lean Rocket Lab and connect them with Brandon and Ken there and see all of the different things that they've been doing. And, you know, I think part of our conversation led into the different opportunities that are also along the MLK corridor. And we talked about how we've been working over the past decade to clean up a lot of the blight and make some of the even vacant parcels, even residential parcels, redevelopment ready by removing some of the contaminated soil, removing the basements, and compacting the dirt so that we can, you know, build new. And I think, you know, they remarked how enthusiastic they were, you know, kind of coming from Detroit where a lot of that stuff didn't happen, that kind of forward thought of let's make these, do everything that we can to make these parcels redevelopment ready. And now they are. In fact, we're certified by the Michigan Municipal League and the state as a redevelopment ready community just because of some of the reforms that we've made to streamline our startup processes, our permitting processes, our site application process, and things like that. So they were really impressed. And, you know, we talked about also the opportunities along the MLK corridor there. And, you know, they said they'll be back and bring a whole team of investors with them. So I think Jackson's doing a lot of things right. And I think we're starting to see a lot of payoff for some of those decisions that we've made over the past few years.
Well, that's the key, if you can get investors excited about it, right?
Yeah, you know, if you can get, I think, if you can get investors excited, if you can get developers excited, you know, back when I first started, we were fortunate enough to have a pretty strong partnership with the business community here, and I think that we still do. They helped to create the Anchor Initiative by seeing that the success of, you know, local stakeholder businesses is tied to the success of the community. And they produced that target market analysis that showed that, you know, Jackson can sustain a lot of future growth, particularly within the residential sector and building out some of these complexes, mixed use, market rate, low to moderate income housing projects that we now see. But, you know, kind of it was nice to reflect yesterday in talking with these guys about how, you know, Jackson was so primed for investment and these new opportunities that it really took, you know, the Lofts on Louis and John Burka at the brewery and his partners, Dyke and others, that made that first step, that first bet on Jackson to build the Lofts on Louis. And afterwards, when people saw how fast that filled up, that that just spiraled into more and more investment and development. And, you know, I think we're seeing the fruits of that. I think that more people are investing in the city. In fact, we have the developers that we're working with now are coming back asking for more projects to undertake. And so, you know, I think we're moving very fast. And now we have kind of while we had developers coming to us and saying, hey, what projects can I undertake, and looking to go out and find financing, now we're starting to get a lot more of those institutional investors coming to us and saying, hey, you know, where can I put my money in this town where, you know, I can get a fair return, but also get into the mix and get into this opportunity that Jackson's presenting to people from all over the state, frankly.
Looks like everything's pretty much opened up. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, June 1st. So June 1st came and is now upon us. That was kind of the target date for reopening a lot of the state, and for especially for outdoor activities, which is going to be great because we're going to have a great summer. Food Truck Tuesdays are back. You know, basically everything that we've been holding back on over the past year to protect ourselves from the pandemic is going to be coming back in some way, shape, or form. So, you know, continue to do what you can to get vaccinated, to encourage others to get vaccinated. But and if you're not vaccinated, wear a mask and continue to social distance. But you know, for those that are vaccinated, you know, the mask mandate indoors is lifting. The outdoor gatherings are lifting. So, you know, we're starting to see some return to normalcy. But, you know, it's still important to stay vigilant and realize that there's others out there that are relying on us to continue to do our part. But it is a little bit of a breath of fresh air, and it's going to be good. It would be good to kind of get out this summer and celebrate. It would be great to, June is Pride Month. One of my favorite kind of months of awareness, where we get to celebrate some of the big strides that we've undertaken in the past couple of years to build a more tolerant and inclusive city that really views diversity as a strength. And that's something that, you know, we kind of canonized in the passage of the non-discrimination ordinance back in 2017. And, you know, I think that was a key inflection point when we really kind of turned a corner and got a lot more people involved and interested in feeling like they could make big changes here in the city. And I think that's something that we can continue, and hopefully now with some of the restrictions being lifted and we're getting back to some degree of normalcy and people are starting to be able to come together and organize, we can see even more of that civic engagement in the future.
So you have a meeting next Tuesday. Is that still virtual, and anything big coming up there?
Yep, still virtual. You know, we're going to be talking about some of the conversations that will continue. We kind of took up a lot of things on first reading at the last meeting. Some of the changes that we proposed to make to the non-owner occupied residential property registry, extending that from 2 years to 3 years. Similarly, with the vacant, foreclosed, and abandoned property registry, which, you know, is being proposed to extend even further. And as many people probably seen, as we just talked about blight, you know, those abandoned properties, those vacant parcel, vacant properties and structures become big nuisances in the neighborhood. So having tools like the FVAP ordinance allow us to really provide some incentive for owners to, you know, fix those up, make them safe, or try to convert them to some sort of productive use. So I think we're going to be talking about that and some other ordinances that we didn't get to at the last meeting, but it will be virtual. It'll be on June 8th at the regularly scheduled time, 6:30. And, you know, got more work to do for the city, but as we move into the summer months, it's exciting to be able to get out and see some old faces that we haven't seen in a long time.
Have you added to your planning of the near to distant future?
We've done some planning around putting our daughter into kindergarten. You know, she'll be going to she'll be a Viking, so she'll be going into the public school system, and we're excited about that. She's incredibly excited. You know, she's going to be a young five, but we're excited about that. And you know, for the rest of it, you know, we'll see what comes. I'm still going to be engaged in the city affairs, and you know, I love this town. It gave me a second chance and great opportunity, and love the people here. I love all the friends I made, and so you know, I'll find a way to continue to serve and give back in whatever way, shape, or form.
Jackson Mayor Derek Dobies. Derek, appreciate the visit.
Hey, thanks, Greg. Have a great day.
As always.